Adam Morrison here. When it comes to top-tier contracting, my go-to choice is McGilvery Environmental. They're not just any contractor. They're the best in Spokane and North Idaho. With years of experience, they handle it all. New construction, meticulous repairs, and asphalt overlays. From start to finish, they ensure your project is completed with the highest quality end results. And here's the scoop for this year. McGilvery Environmental has expanded its services to include asphalt paving. That means top-notch commercial parking lots, residential driveways, and road construction. So, ready to kickstart your project? Reach out to Kip at McGilvery Environmental by calling 208-556-6384 for your free estimate. Don't forget to mention my name, Adam from the Perimeter, and experience the difference that McGilvery Environmental brings to the table. Again, that's 208-556-6384, McGilvery Environmental. My number one choice for all my contracting needs. The Perimeter would like to thank our sponsor, HDG Architecture. HDG is a Spokane-based architectural firm whose aesthetic can be described as an understatement of badassery, an idea that sets the standard for their approach to every client and every project decision. The world is full of poorly designed spaces, and HDG wants to change that. Check out some of their award-winning work at studiohdg.com. Welcome to the Perimeter Season 3, Episode 16, presented by McGilvery Environmental. Here with Brendan, the producer. Got a lot to unpack in this episode. Heartbreaking loss at home to St. Mary's. Some really interesting officiating calls. I'm going to dive into that. My opinion and take on them from as unbiased as I can from a basketball lens. And then something that was kind of ugly, we had students throwing shit on the floor. National TV game, not a good look. I'm going to talk about what I think should happen, what I know will happen, and then what I think, procedurally, what the building and security will do going forward. I know that's an interesting topic because there's a lot of people that want to go to Gonzaga games. And so when students act that way, there's a reasonable case to be like, bring in, cut half the student, not half the students, but take out the corners and sell those tickets and just give them the two middles. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Now the band gets that one corner and then they get the other adjacent corner.
Yeah.
Take those out and just sell those to general admission. You know what I mean? And like when you start throwing stuff on the floor and doing all that crazy stuff, it's a legitimate argument. So
yeah.
You were at the game. Great energy in the building before that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It was, I had posted on my own social like saying like, number one student section in the NCAA. Yeah, like, no, just, and then I didn't delete the video, but I deleted that because I was just like, that was unacceptable.
Yeah, it was embarrassing from an alumnus and somebody who played there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just not us doing the pat ourselves on the back, make us sound good because, how dare they? But like, I would have never, when I was growing up and even intoxicated, I would never think to throw something at somebody. It's such a cheap, you know what I mean, like bush league thing to do. You can really hurt somebody, like if you catch, because they were throwing those little liquor bottles on.
Yeah,
I mean, they're glass, or even if they're the heavy plastic, you catch somebody in the eye. Like, what if you did that?
Yeah,
and you ruin somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
Should you go to prison and should you pay restitution? Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But like, it just was just like, what the heck? Over a call, really bad call. But yeah. This loss puts us kind of behind the barrel a little bit on making the NCAA tournament. I know Lunardi doesn't have us really listed, or is like the next four out or whatever.
Next four in, I guess.
Next four in.
Yeah.
So that's a precarious place to be. But what was funny, we were 31 in the net, and now we're 26 after a loss. I don't know how this shit works sometimes.
I don't get it.
I don't get it. But you have to talk about it because it goes into making the decision if you get in and what seed. So that's why we do talk about it. I have probably a B plus understanding of it, right?
Yeah.
But that part is always scratching my head. I'm like, we lost to an unranked team that was in the 20s,
yeah,
but it's not like we lost to a top five team, you know what I mean?
And
we still went up. It's like we still went up and we lost to a team that was like six spots ahead of us, right? At home, So how the heck did we move up, right? But whatever,
I'll take it. I don't understand. Obviously, I think there's a lot of math that goes behind the net rankings.
Yeah, of course there is, but it's still like that stuff just doesn't make sense. But I thought when we started the game, defensively, we were fantastic. I mean, if you look at the box score, they started 1-for-10.
Yeah.
And we had great energy. But again, this was kind of some of the theme I've talked about with this club all year long, especially if you've listened to my broadcasts when I do the games, is they start, St. Mary starts 1-for-10.
Mm-hmm.
And after they make their first field goal, I look up and the score is 11-5. We're only up 6.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, we get a gift. They start off terribly. We're playing okay, but, like, it's like, man, that's you feel like you should be up 14-2 or something like that, mm-hmm. or really, you know, get them rattled. I mean, Mahaney shoots an air ball to start the game. Marcelonis misses a couple bunnies, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, the energy was great. Defensively, we were flying around, contesting, all that stuff. We went to the switch package that I've talked about when we played LMU, and I mentioned it. The switch package is really good. It's been part of our success defensively on some of our better teams' ability to switch 1-5
mm-hmm.
instead of always having to show and all those things. With a big on the pick and roll package, and that's what they are. They're a pick and roll team with Mahaney and Marcelonis, and they spread you out and they kind of play slow that way, but they get the ball to their best players and set ball screens and stuff like that. So, it wasn't a bad start. It wasn't a lack of energy or lack of want to. But the first half got into the pace that St. Mary's likes to play.
Yeah.
And that's where I was a little bit upset that we couldn't implore our style more on them and play faster. And the way you do that is get a lead on them where they have to play faster,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that's why we were in our 30 press or 1-2-2. We ran it against them last year in the second and third game, and it really bothered them. They were more prepared for it this game. Obviously they went over it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Marcelonis is a better guard from that standpoint to handle press than Logan Johnson was. So with Mahaney and Marcelonis on the top against that 1-2-2, they maneuvered it much better.
Yeah.
But they were prepared for it, obviously. But they maneuvered it much better than they did in those last two games last year where we kind of took the wind out of their sails early. Mm-hmm. So I thought schematically, especially in the first half, we had the right deal, press, try to play fast, switch. We had Mahaney kind of on the ropes there in the first half, didn't play fantastic. But you look up, we're up 34-33. There was two times we were up 9 at points in the game.
Yeah.
in that first half, and then they made their little run, and like I said, we're only up 1.5, and it was one of those deals where, like, we weren't playing as fast as we wanted to, but if you're being honest, you're like, Gonzaga controlled that half,
mm-hmm.
and we're only up 1. And it's kind of like that the same stuff we've been talking about all seasons. Like, we haven't had the ability to kind of separate from teams when we're playing better.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little bit frustrating. And obviously it's a tale of two halves. And, you know, if you're up 10, doesn't mean you automatically win the game, but you also obviously want separation. You know what I'm saying? Like, So I was just a little bit upset in that regards calling it, but also I was like, look, this team is 7-0, have won 9 in a row or whatever it was, or some of 9 or 14, I can't remember the number. And you know, we're up 1, so we should be kind of happy.
Yeah. I mean, I was happy with a 1-point lead, even though I felt like, I mean, I think we all felt like you said, it would have been great to like to step on the jugular and like just like get an even bigger lead.
Yep. Well, and in years past, if a team went 1-for-10 to start,
mm-hmm.
usually we'd be up, like I said, 14-2 or something like that. So that part was interesting. They were a very good rebounding team at +11. Mm-hmm. And we were plus 8.5 rebound margin per game. And we ended up plus 6 on them. So that part I really looked at and was positive about, you know, because that was one of my keys to the game. Like, we can't let them out rebound at us. Mm-hmm. We can't, you know, that's a physicality and mentality thing more so than anything. So we get in that second half, and I think that's when it kind of game kind of turned wacky a little bit. It was a wacky atmosphere. We had a good stretch there where the game was, you know, no more than 4-6 kind of both ways. Mm-hmm. And then we got down to the 6.5 minute mark, and we were up 2, I believe, and we didn't score until the 2.5 minutes left. So we went on a 4-minute stretch.
Yeah.
Where we didn't score a field goal late in the game, and just couldn't make the right amount of plays, which was frustrating.
Yeah.
it was another tale of if we make other games, but if we make plays against Washington, I know you're laughing because it's like, I don't want to repeat myself over and over again, and the people listening, like, this podcast fucking sucks. You know what I mean? It's just repeating. But, like, again, we have to go over Washington. We don't make enough plays down the stretch. If we make enough plays, we win. Santa Clara, I think San Diego State just kicked their ass. Mm-hmm. I think that, too.
Yeah.
But, like, there's, like, at least 3 games where you look back, like, if we just make, like, 2 or 3 plays, then we're in a totally different position than we are in right now. Mm-hmm. There's no anxiety of making the tournament. You know what I mean? Like, so that's what's been so frustrating is, like, sometimes you got to go just make plays as an individual and whoever that may be and go score the basketball and or get to the free throw. They were in the bonus with like 8:10 left to go. They got their 6th and we didn't get another foul shot until like the 2.5 minute mark. So mm-hmm. like St. Mary's did a good job of not fouling, but also like you have to figure out a way to get somebody to foul you. I know that sounds funny, but like bait the officials in on a cut, slide your hands underneath the guy, fall down. All that stuff. That's real, real hoop stuff. So it was frustrating. And then there was just so many weird plays down the stretch. What are the 3 calls? There's the out of bounds on Mahaney,
mm-hmm.
Which that led to a Marcelo. So the context of the game, it was tied, correct? Yes, it was tied. They were up two.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a scramble where Mahaney goes baseline,
mm-hmm.
and he loses it where it looks like a double dribble. Steps out. Ref doesn't call the step out. You don't notice it until they show it on the big screen. So I'm just going through the whole play first, and we'll talk about that. He kicks it out to Dukas, 5th-year seniors, made big shots for them. Whoever, I think Nembhard was guarding Dukas, and what happened was Anton went over to try to, like, tip the Dukas pass,
mm-hmm.
and Dukas wisely jumps in the air and does a touch pass, and it left Marcelonis wide open,
mm-hmm.
hits the biggest 3 of his career, and that was kind of the ball game. So the reason why I'm going through the whole play. Okay, go ahead.
And this is what they also went back to the clock to see if, because it was also like shot clock was expiring at the same time, right?
Yes. Okay. So the shot clock was expiring, but he got off, you could tell in real time.
Yeah.
Okay. But what happened was when they had to go and look at it, Mahaney clearly stepped out of bounds when he threw that pass to Dukas. So that was one where they completely missed that call. But then to be fair, on my side, to be critical, like Anton doesn't need to slide over to Dukas in that spot. You stay locked into your guy. He comes over to try to steal it, and it's a touch pass, wide open 3. Just stay with your guy. There's like 2 seconds left.
Yeah.
And I said that on the radio, and Anton's been fantastic. But if he could go back and watch the film, I'm sure he did. He's like, why did I slide 5 feet over and left open a wide open 1 pass that all that kid could make? Then he whacks in the 3, but everybody went bonkers because he stepped out completely right.
Yeah.
Like it was like clearly out of bounds. I thought the officiating crew was one of the worst we've ever seen in there. Randy McCall, the older guy's been in a lot of big games. He had an off night. And then the 2 other guys were really bad. I mean, they had some bad chest you know, chest vertical contests, they called fouls, and then some they didn't. So then you never knew what you were going to get at the rim, which is bad. Like, that stuff's easy to be consistent on. Either you call it or you don't early. They let their guards, like, if you watch the game, obviously I'm watching it courtside and I could see it closer and I'm looking for different things. Marcelona's great, great player, was extending his arm defensively and pushing our guards off their line into the ball screens all night, and they didn't call one of them. Like, freedom of movement's been a deal. Extended arm has always been a foul.
Yeah.
I was curious to why they weren't calling it, or why, and to be frank, like, our bench probably didn't notice, but, like, what, you should be hammering the officials. Like, you tell them, extended arm, and eventually they're going to call it. They have to, because if you point something out to them that's illegal, that was bad. Mm-hmm. And then the Graham EK fourth foul, one of the four, I think he had an over the back that was just shitty. Like, yeah. a one where in a big game, if the guy clearly has him boxed out and he gets the rebound and nothing happens, he doesn't lose it, he doesn't fucking fall down, mm-hmm. he just got the rebound. Even if there's contact, just let it go.
Yeah.
And I'd say that for their guy, like Saxon. Like, if he had one where Ben Gregg clearly grabs it and he barely touches us and we don't foul or fall over, play on. Like, stop calling these dumbass fouls where guys have to sit, and it changes the whole complexion of the game. That's why a lot of times you've heard me say this, college basketball is not as fun to watch anymore because of the five personal fouls, but they don't have the sense to call shit the way it should be. Like, understanding, where context of the game, what is going on? Oh, it's at 80 feet. The guy didn't lose the ball. I'm not going to call a reach right there. I'm just going to tell him to get back and run back. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how it should be officiated.
Yeah.
They call the ticky-tack stuff so much, and then they let people put two hands on you or extended arm on you when you're driving. So, like, that's where I lose my mind watching the sport. That was bad. And then I think the worst call we've seen in there in a long time was that shot clock violation after Anton makes the three to get us within three. So we still have life. They're up six, right? Mm-hmm. Anton makes a three in the left side corner with about 45 seconds left. So there's a 15-second differential. So you have a legitimate possession to get one stop. We could get the ball and then run down and draw up a play. We didn't have a timeout, but you have a chance. You know, you have situations where you can call something and run it.
Yeah.
And I think it was Mahaney went up for the shot, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And Anton is face boxing on the outside. What I mean by that is normally in a box out, you hit and then you turn and see the ball. Sometimes you're going to get beat or it's such a big play. Coaches tell you, and as players, it's smart. You just face box. It's like an offensive lineman blocking a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. You're not extending your arms, but you're just like, I'm not looking for the ball, but somebody else is going to go get it. You're not getting the ball. And they call a fucking foul on that. It was terrible.
Yeah.
And the worst part is the shot clock. It was an air ball floater. So the shot clock went off. And so the ref had an opportunity, like a golden opportunity. You made a shitty call, but he could have went, shot clock violation. And the whole crowd, even St. Mary's bench, wouldn't have argued.
Right.
Because it was terrible. And they ended up going to the monitor. This is the worst part about it. They go to the monitor, but they don't tell our bench that they're looking to see if the shot clock went off or if it was a foul. We were assuming that it was a shot clock, and they were looking at how much time to put back on.
Yeah.
So we used it as a timeout, which you're not legally supposed to do. Everybody does it, but you have to stay on the floor. And Fiwi, because we had no timeouts left, Fiwi drew up a play, and then he comes out and goes foul, free throws, and that's when everybody went apeshit.
Yeah.
And I thought Fiwi was going to get one of those technicals where you just say, fuck it, you know, and people don't realize, like, he gets like maybe one a year. Probably he's probably at like half of one a year is his average, which is really good.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah. It's like half of one a year.
Yeah.
And every time he gets one, he like feels bad about it. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like some coaches like get one or two a year and just like, yeah, I'm going to get one just because it feels good. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to get one and just like, yep, screw it. You know, I've been hosed all night. I'm going to scream in your ear and just ding me. Who cares? Mm-hmm. But he kept his composure. But it was like such a bad way to handle that play. Not only because they called a foul on a box out at the end of the game. Like, unless somebody's getting thrown to the ground or elbowed in the face, that never gets called.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the end of the game, and you've been letting it physical all game. But you had the out of having a shot clock violation. You had the perfect out to be like, oh, nope, I was wrong. Shot clock this way. I said, a St. Mary's bench would even, they would have been like, yeah, it was a shot clock violation. They would, they weren't expecting a box out call. So that was terrible. Now, to get into the response by the students and fans.
The Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, Hunter Green. Did you know that card control from ICCU lets you turn off your cards with just the tap of a button? Off, on.
Trying to pay our bills.
Terrible. Now, to get into the response by the students and fans, throwing shit on the court was stupid, embarrassing. Like, I just don't understand the philosophy on that. One, like I said earlier, you can hurt people, and that's I get that's a cliche way to put it, and obviously nobody wants to get hurt, and I'm not going to sit up here and make myself, yeah, I'm some, you know, God-loving person, and I don't want people to get hurt.
Right.
But like, you throw small objects, like in Europe and stuff, they throw like pennies and batteries and shit, but you lose an eye. Like, that's a real way you can affect somebody's life. Okay. And then two, this is the dumbest, this is like the funniest but dumbest part. Everything's on fucking camera, you dumbass students. Like, there's always a camera that is just, that's not following the game. They have everywhere you go now, in every corner of every building of a significance, there is a camera running. It's not expensive anymore. It's not the early 2000s when it was thousands of dollars to do security system. Ring and all those, Canary and all those stuff has made it extremely cheap to put a camera in a corner and record on a cloud. So no matter what you do, you are going to get caught. Whoever threw shit, they're going to find out who you are. Facial recognition is not that hard. They can take the video, send it to somebody. It probably cost them $500.
Yeah.
Review this tape. Give us who the students are. Here's our student database. Probably $1,000. Yeah. Here you go. Here's the names. So, like, doing that is so dumb. Like, I don't understand it. Like, that's the same for, like, in NFL stadiums. There's a camera on every person on the NFL stadium, and they can zoom in. It's no different at McCarthy Athletic Center. So, like, doing that stuff is, like, beyond dumb. You make the university look bad, and you could say what you want, but you are, as a student, you are a part of the university.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, so juvenile and so cheap, too. It's such a cheap way to vent your anger. It's just like a bush league thing to do. Like, I'm gonna throw something at a ref because he missed a call. Yeah, it was shitty, but also, like, he missed the fucking call. Like, call him an asshole for real.
Yeah,
yell at him. Call me three blind mice chant or whatever. Three blind refs. Like, you can do whatever. All that, I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
but once you consider hurting somebody, it's just like, dude, we're supposed to be like a prestigious university. We are a prestigious university. It's hard to get into. It's very expensive to go there. We're not a state school. That's nothing against state schools, but it's harder to get into Gonzaga. That's a fact. And usually the kids that get in are come from pretty well off situations. That's another fact.
Yep.
I guarantee you were raised differently than that. And you look like an asshole, like a rich kid, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. And, you know, crybaby in the corner and fucking throwing stuff at people. It's so dumb. I'm surprised we didn't get a technical. Actually, I wanted us to get a technical on the crowd because it would have been deserving.
Yeah.
Just game's over. It's part of your fault. Because I know after the game, I went and talked to, you know, people that were facility managers, people that are part of the athletic department. There were some very pissed off people in that building and embarrassed people.
Yeah.
Just because of that. It was just so stupid.
Yeah, it's a privilege to be able to go to the game.
100%. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Keep going. It's a privilege.
It's a privilege. And to do what they did and to throw, I mean, I don't know I think they were throwing cups on the floor too.
They were throwing those, like, the ICCU, God bless them, but they make these cups that look like solo cups, but they're real.
Yeah.
You know, they're nice cups. I grabbed a couple from my boss a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was also like, oh, Idaho Central Credit Union, I'll take those.
Yeah.
But a lot of them were those the fireball, like
So
like you're also like you guys just outed yourself.
Yeah.
On now they're going to be like checking your bags. I bet you I don't know how much they do for the students, but like good job. Now the people that were sneaking in booze responsibly
yeah
are outed now. Good job. Bravo. So now like, you know, the 21-year-old senior can't have a take the edge off at a game that he's earned. Or totally. Her.
it was such a weird turn of events. Like that last minute and a half of
it was it was wacky in there.
It was just
it was wacky.
It felt like being in a like not like anything I'd ever experienced for any type of professional sports or college sports.
Yeah,
like
it's wacky.
Yeah,
it just had a weird vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't, you know, like. We got down six, then it was like, oh, we lost. But then Anton makes like a kind of a weird three for Anton, mm-hmm. you know, like a fadeaway kind of in the corner.
Yeah, I was like,
we're shit, right, he made it.
We're right there.
You know,
that,
like, that's not his shot.
Yeah.
And he whacks it and you're like, all right. And then, so we're still in it. And then, oh, we're going to get a stop. Oh, what a foul. And then shit on the floor. Then it was just like, and then we lose by two. And then you're just, it's just, it was weird. And, not a good look at the end. I know that for a fact that the students in question, if they find out, which they I'm pretty sure they will, like I said, there's ways you can find out, you can outsource that too easily. If uh-huh. if you couldn't do it yourself, they will never be allowed back in a game.
Right.
Which is crazy to think. What if you're a freshman or a sophomore, just any year, but like you're done for the rest of your Gonzaga career of going to a game. That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sit there and I go, okay, if you're the university and they threw stuff and you have them on camera, like directly trying to hit, you know, security person, ref, player, does that affect your academic standing at the university?
Yeah.
That's like code of conduct stuff right up very easily. So do you expel those kids? Or yeah. do you suspend them for a semester and say you got to take a pause? Because I know that's happened on certain different things. When I went to school, I knew a mm-hmm. couple people that got suspended and they had to sit out a whole semester and then they could come back and reapply.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm just curious, like I'm going to follow up on this because it won't make like a news thing, but I'm going to ask around, like, are these kids going to get suspended or what's the criteria for that mm-hmm. academically? Because can you imagine, you know, obviously people make mistakes. So again, I made a ton of them when I was a young kid, but when you're trying to hurt people and you kind of know this is right from wrong, this is wrong, like everybody fucking knows this.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun call home when your parents are writing, you know, an $85,000 check a year to go to Gonzaga. Hey, I can't go to school here anymore because I threw a fireball mini shot at a referee at a game that, you know, matters, but really doesn't matter.
Right.
So am I still in the will or what?
Right. When I was walking out of the arena after the game, the students were still very like upset. There was a lot of screaming, a lot of just like the season's fucking over kind of comments. But there was one student that was like saying there was administration like pointing out students like. And they're definitely going to get in trouble. I don't know what level, but
yeah. Well,
yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to know.
I'm curious to know. I know there's one story that I know of a situation like that. Well, not like that, but what the university did off of conduct is we had a professor there that used to teach, like it was a CPR class and it was part of your, you had to get CPR required for a sports management degree. And it was actually, you know, nice to learn, but he made it really hard. It was harder than you thought. You thought you were just going to go there and do the doll thing and you know, like on the office and laugh. But like you had to like really know what you were doing and, you know, you had to do the bandages and all that stuff. And it was harder. So like he rubbed people the wrong way, but if you were respectful to him, he gave you respect back. And so like I used to tell guys, like, just don't be, just like kind of fake it a little bit. So anyway, he had the reputation of being kind of a dick as a professor. Uh-huh. Anyway, the story I heard was 2 years before when Gonzaga was on one of the Sweet 16 runs. This is actually pretty funny. One of the students wanted to go to the games. I think it was in New Mexico when they were, you know, at the Sweet 16 or second round game going to the Sweet 16. So he called or emailed the professor and said, gave him the old, like, my grandmother's sick or whatever. Well, the professor saw him on TV in the stands and got him suspended for a whole semester, like went to the dean or whatever. And the kid like had to wipe out his that current semester and had to sit out another one and then come back and retake all those classes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's... So my point is like, it's possible that if you break code of conduct, there's some harsher repercussions than there is maybe at a normal, I don't know. I hate saying normal because it makes it sound like we're.
Gonzaga is not like a state school.
No.
I mean, there's honor codes that you have to sign.
Yeah, there's different ones. You're right.
Yeah, it's like, and there it's a Jesuit school. So there is like that honor code, like you have to abide by and you sign that as a student. And when you break it, you probably deserve the repercussions of it.
It'll be fascinating to learn further, and I'll do my best to ask the right people and see what they're going to do. I got a good understanding on what they're going to do definitely in the building, in which I think that's an easy one, and that's one that you can't really fight. And like I said, again, you just fucked everybody over that wanted to have like a drink and the deal. I'm not saying right or wrong, but it's still like one of those deals where like, thanks a lot, asshole. Like now we all can't have a fireball shot in our Coke when we go to the game or whatever. But you get what I'm saying? Like it's like crumble up paper and throw it at somebody. And then, you know what I mean? I don't know.
I was going to, and I will quote you. We're not trying to be the, like, get off our lawn. Like I feel like we are so pro the student section. Yeah. We love the student section, but to see that happen was just like, it was, not acceptable.
Well, it gives the other side of the coin, fodder to be like, hey, let's take out those corners.
Yeah.
And those are probably 400 seats. You'd say 400 seats. Mm-hmm. Let's just sell those.
Yeah.
Make those GAs or just season tickets, and then just shorten it up. If you guys are going to act like this, you're going to have less opportunity to go to games. Mm-hmm. And that's a fair argument.
And punishment.
Argument, punishment. And then, if you're looking from a financial standpoint, you're like, you're still going to have pretty much the same atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make a few extra $100,000 or whatever it would be, So I don't know. Crazy thing. St. Mary's a good basketball team. I talked about that on the show. They're good.
Yeah.
People need to understand that. I know it was a home game, but this team is built to win. And it's just a weird matchup for us. And like I say, we just didn't make enough plays. Let's just dive into the stats real quick. I've been doing that on all these. Graham EK has played fantastic in conference play. He had a decent game. He was 4 for 10.
Mm-hmm.
12 points, 12 rebounds. So I'll give him a pass. He's been great for us. So I think he actually showed up and played well. Anton Watson played all 40 minutes, 6 of 10, 3 of 4 from the free throw line. Made that three I mentioned earlier, 10 rebounds, 16 points. Played his ass off. Great game.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Gregg, 3 of 7, 7 points, 10 rebounds, played 31 minutes. I think that's a good game for him. The rebounding aspect of it, especially.
Yeah.
Nemhard, who's been really good in conference play, shooting about 45 or above from three. Last time I checked, he was at 50, but that was a couple games ago. But really has shot the ball much better. 7 of 13, 1 of 2 from three, 3 of 5 from the free throw, 18 points. Really solid. Made really good plays.
Mm-hmm.
Nolan, after his career high against LMU, really struggled. 3 of 12, 0 of 5 from 3, 7 points, played 37 minutes. Dusty Stromer off the bench only took one field goal, played 8 minutes. That was it.
Yeah.
It was nice to see Luka in there. I know he only played just basically 3 minutes, didn't take a field goal attempt, but I was watching when he checked in, he did all of his switch packages and everything defensively was fine. So I was like, hey, I think they're trying to work him into the where he can play and give these guys some break. Mm-hmm. 3 minutes, a half or whatever. And we've talked about that at length and on the previous episodes, and he obviously had that hand injury, so I was pleased to see him get in. Braden Huff only played 451, made one out of two, only had 2 points. I was curious why he didn't play as much. I get worried about him, man, leaving. I'm just going to throw that out there just because his deal is back and forth so much, as much he plays.
Yeah.
Some games he's really efficient, and then some games, you know, it's hard for him defensively and the matchup's bad. So that's why he's not playing, if people are wondering.
Mm-hmm.
It was tough sledding for him just getting on the floor.
We never talk much about the plus minus, but like Braden Huff played for almost 5 minutes and had
minus nine. Well,
and
so here's the, you know, I like to play devil's advocate and I like to give the both viewpoints.
Yeah.
He obviously didn't play much.
Yeah.
But do you remember when Graham got his fourth with like 6 minutes to go?
That's right. Yeah.
And they put Braden in on that Saxon kid who had a very good, I'll go over their stats in a second.
Yeah.
What did they do? They went right at his ass.
Well, they went.
No, they went. He went two layups, and then he fouled. So basically, 3 for 3, 6 points on him. So that's the counter to why he doesn't play sometimes in big games.
Mm.
Now, does he have the ability to play defense? I think so. I love the kid. I love his game. I really do. But you got to earn that. It doesn't matter if I like it. That's got to be earned by the staff. So that's where, if people are wondering why Braden doesn't get in sometimes, that was Exhibit A, right or wrong. And I'm not going to comment whether I think it's right or wrong, but it's easy to point to that and be like, they went at his ass 3 times in a row and they scored. So, you know what I mean? So anyway, hopefully he continues to have a great season. He's averaging like 10 and a half and playing like 14 minutes a game. So he's been great.
Yeah.
But there is times where he doesn't play a lot, and that's the reason why. People understand. Now, can he become a better defender? Absolutely. So I hope it happens. When I said I hope, because I want him to stay, I think he has a chance to be one of our better bigs, or in that conversation with, you know, our bigs that have been really good here. I really do.
Yeah.
I think he has great touch. He can score, good feel, decent size, moves decently, decent hop, all that stuff. I like his game. I want him to stay. I like lefties as well. I think one of the keys to the game, and, you know, I don't think people really pointed this out, was Jefferson for St. Mary's. Sophomore, kind of like Anton's body, kind of kicked our ass. He played all 40 minutes, was 7 of 14, makes that huge 3, 1 for 3, 11 rebounds, 16 points, 4 assists, only 1 turnover. He really was the difference maker that I think on the scouting report, not that we didn't have him, but it was Marcellonis and Mahaney, and you know what I'm saying? Like, you need to control those guys. He really kicked our ass and kind of took the wind out of our sails a couple times, and he's a really good defender. Saxon as well, the big kid inside, 6 of 10, 15 points, 6 rebounds. He was terrific for them. So when we play them again, if we can eliminate, not completely eliminate, but lower those guys' impact, then we win easily, right? So, like, it happened to us last year. We lost the first game against them kind of on a weird, remember that last 8 minutes, Mahaney went bonkers and it was a weird deal. And, you know, we got some shitty calls and you know what I mean? Like, where our guys just looked like they were lost a little bit. Feels like it did last year.
Yeah.
And it feels like, all right, we're going to play him again. We're going to figure it out and then we'll play again in the tournament and beat you. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully.
Yeah.
But again, last year we had 2 pros on the team, right? Yeah. So it's different.
Yeah.
But I thought all in all, we played okay. Only losing by 2 is not the end of the world. And we held them to 64 fucking points, right? So it's not like defensively, I don't think our scheme was bad. I think next time we might look at trapping Mahaney more than just switching on the ball screen stuff. But I thought all in all, it wasn't a poorly played game in totality by us. I mean, 3-point shooting again. I hate fucking talking about this. I'm sick of it. But we were 3 of 14. It's 21%.
Yeah.
Big game. You know what I mean? Like, I hate bringing it up all the time because I feel like it's annoying to talk about. And it's kind of disrespectful in a sense that I know these guys are like trying and they get their reps up. And I just want to be like, you're not making shots. That's not going to help anything either.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make me feel good as, cause I know what it was like to go through slumps and stuff. It's not fun when people keep reminding you of it either, but it's a topic we have to, you know, we have to bring it up or we wouldn't be a proper Zag podcast. So yeah, 3 of 14. And then here's another stat that kind of jumped out. I mean, just look at the assist to turnover. Only five.
Only
five, and then seven turnovers. Ball wasn't pinging around.
Yeah.
Part of that to do with, it's not like guys are playing selfish. St. Mary's is really good defensively. Mm-hmm. They grab, hold, all that shit. And they stay connected. They get in gaps, all that stuff. So that part was hard.
It was the part that I after watching my son and my daughter play basketball earlier in the day, they were just like, you know, little kids just like take a lot of shots. They miss a lot of shots.
Yeah.
And Gonzaga was kind of doing like Nimhard. I mean, Hickman would get, they would take the ball and get close to the hoop, and then they would just miss. It would be like a good shot, but it just wouldn't go in.
Yeah.
Just like
makeable.
This, yeah. Like some floaters that just didn't go in.
Well, again, it's like just what I said earlier, like that 6.5 to 2.5 minute, that 4 minute stretch, like, God, I guess somebody's got to go to score.
Yeah.
I know, and it sounds funny, but like, when you get to this level, you're going to run your actions, but like, somebody has to go, like, score the basketball. It gets really simple late in games. It really does. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you've heard me say it a million times, make or miss league. It's same thing in the NBA. Like, you throw it to you get your two best guys and you throw it to them and go, this is why I'm paying you money. It's no different here.
Yeah.
This is why you're our guy. Go score, or at least get us thrust towards the rim, get fouled, mm-hmm. make a play, all that stuff. And we were just kind of playing ring around the rosy and weren't taking really good shots, getting late into the shot clock. So that part's getting a little bit frustrating constantly to kind of have to think about that and talk about it. I was like, come on, somebody go get a bucket. You know what I'm saying? So, but for the most part, the teams were even. We were +6 on the glass, 24-55 from the field. They're 25-55. So you call that a wash.
Yeah.
They made 7 threes. We only made 4. I mentioned that, but we get 4 more makes on the free throw line. Like from a neutral point of view, it was a solid basketball game to watch. It was just the weirdest, like, last minute and a half I've ever experienced in that building. It just really was. And then, again, the fan stuff was weird. And but again, it puts us behind the eight ball, man, on some of this. For being completely honest, we're 2 games back now. We still have San Francisco once, who's good, who's 65 in the net. We're 27. St. Mary's is 21. And then we got St. Mary's again at their place. So. Yeah. Hopefully we can figure out a way to get two wins against both of those teams, one each. But we have Kentucky coming up at Kentucky.
The Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Our family is all over the place sometimes, but ICCU helps us keep up with them. We use card control to turn on Olive's debit card when she needs to pay for activities.
And turn it off when she's shopping online.
We make sure Forrest is depositing his lawn mowing checks into his college fund. And we definitely make sure to ask Grandma Ivy where all those Zelle transfers come from. Phew, that's a lot of keeping up. You ready for a break?
But we have Kentucky coming up. At Kentucky, who's 17, who's kind of floundered a little bit of recent past. It's got, like, I think probably 4 pros on their team. Mm-hmm. Legitimately shocking. Kentucky has pros.
Right.
But they're super talented, yeah. and they looked a little bit more connected this year. Have a great kid in Reeves, averaging about 20 points a game. They're third in the nation, scoring 88 points a game. 17 and 15 in the coaches' poll. Had 2 losses last week, but in the SEC.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just a different league. Sometimes you get caught in a hard weekend and it happens. And this is a really good opportunity to maybe get a win that has a resume builder type of thing.
I think we have 2 games of those left, or maybe probably 3.
2.5.
2.5.
Yeah, you're right. So, St. Mary's is 1 on the road. I think San Francisco can be counted as 1.
Yeah.
But definitely the 1 at Rupp Arena this Saturday.
Yeah.
We're going to have to really slow down Reeves. We're going to have to play. We have to play our pace, but we can't get into a complete shootout. I think they're more talented in that situation. But I do like that it's not a team like UConn or Purdue where we be completely outmatched physically inside.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they play it. What I'm trying to get to is they play a similar style, so that helps. So maybe we can get a shootout with them. But they're going to have something for our asses, man, because we ran them out of the building last year in the arena. Yeah. And it was rocking in there. And we ran their asses out of the building, like, have fun. Have a, you know, So they're excuse me, they're waiting for us, and I guarantee Cal is going to have them fired up. And then it's pretty cool that we got to play in Rupp Arena. I've never been, never experienced it. I'm excited to do it. I'm not excited to take the fucking trip. I've looked at it. It's like three flights, I think, to get there.
Oh,
and I'm
God.
Just like, oh my God, nah, it just sucks. But anyway, tough life, Adam. Yeah, right. You know, but anyway, it's just like, it's going to be a really cool experience. So hopefully we can come out and play well. I think for our guys, it's a perfect opportunity to play with like no expectations, I guess is the right way to, I don't know if it's the right way to put it. Obviously we want to win, but like you're not going to be favored. It's a great chance for us to get a win. If we don't, we're still kind of in the same position. We still got to win two games in Vegas, I think, to make it to the tournament.
Yeah.
Either way. Mm-hmm. So it's like, go let it rip and get one of these hard-nosed wins and beat a solid team and then start feeling better about yourself. You know, I hope these guys feel good about themselves because there is a lot of chatter around town. I mean, you can, right? Yeah. I've heard a lot. I'm sure you have. If you read Instagram pages and I don't go on Twitter, but like underneath when we lose, like there's a lot of people that are like really, really mean to some of these players and some of the stuff they say. And I'm like, man, I hope these kids don't read this stuff. Like some of it's really mean, you know, like, and it's not funny cause I've dealt with that in my pro career. It's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's part of the beast. So like at the, it's an easy counter to be like, so, boohoo, man, you're going to fly on private jet. You know what I mean? So I get that too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you get to go to game, you know, you play games and, you know, you're popular on campus. And, you know, I get that. You get paid. Like, oh my God. So I get that. But also, it's like, dude, some of these people are just downright really mean. But they need to remember that they're highly talented college basketball players. They're going to Gonzaga for a reason and just start hooping. And I know that sounds funny, but like I tell my daughter that all the time. Just like, I'm like, just go ball, man. I don't know what to tell you. Like, go hoop. That's what you got to do in these situations, especially February and you get to March, late February into March. You just got to go hoop. Your best guys got to go play good and go. And that's fun when you do that. Don't play loose. Don't play tight and all that stuff. So hopefully that happens. Kentucky's a great opportunity to do that. But I just hope their confidence stays high and they don't listen to the detractors, and then they can really get on a, you know, a nice winning streak, hopefully get St. Mary's at their place. And then just, like I said, just get to Vegas and hopefully get a top two seed.
Mm-hmm.
You get that bye and just win two fucking games. That's all you got to do. They were in the tournament and nobody will talk about this team in a negative way. You'll be another tournament team who's had great success, and you know, you can have a summer to get better and, you know, improve your skills and get more team chemistry because you renew new faces and hopefully onward and upward.
Yeah, I mean, I think this the team definitely has the skill and the ability to be great. And, I mean, I feel like Graham Ike in the St. Mary's game just got really frustrated because he kept on – he got a couple of bad foul calls on him. And
I thought he got – bumped a lot too on some of his attempts.
Yeah. And so, but I feel like someone, and I think it's either Graham or Anton just need to like, they need to go out there and they just need to start. They just need to try to run the ball through them. Or I don't know. Like there's just a lot that like you always talk about, like you wanted to go score whatever number you wanted to score when you're in college. And like, I don't know if like Anton has that, like if he has that killer instinct to go and like score, but like, I feel like he's the one that needs to find it.
Yeah. I think Anton's had his, you know, counting last year, he's had his best 18 months of
college basketball. He's playing great. Yeah.
I don't think that's his mentality or his personality, which is not a bad thing.
Right.
So I think it's gotta be like, I think Ryan's gotta be a vocal leader. Mm. I think Graham could move into that, but I think Anton's just not that type of kid. Mm. He's a do it type instead of a vocal.
Mm.
But yeah, something's, I mean, hopefully they figure it out. And because I don't want those kids to have that burden of the team that had, you know, broke the streak.
Yeah.
That would suck. And we've had teams in the past that have been on the same path. 2015-16, the year where Shimmy gets hurt, and it's Wiltshire and Domus inside, and they just said, like, fuck it, and they just balled out.
Yeah.
And then the year after, I left, so, like, Rav senior year, Kuso, Heifelt, Pennegraph, they had some tough times, and they, you know, I've heard that they were like, fuck it, we're not going to be the team, and they figured it out, and they won the tournament and went on, you know what I mean? Like, figured it out. So it's possible. It's not a insurmountable hill to climb, but there is going to be work, and, you know, all you can do is jump back on the horse. I know it sounds funny, but, like, there's really nothing else that can be done. It's like, you got to grind, nose to the grindstone is what I'm trying to say, and, you know, try to string some wins together.
Yeah. I mean, I think it starts this weekend. I pose a question, like, if we don't win the tournament at the end of the season, like, you have to win, beat Kentucky and St. Mary's to even have a resume builder to make it to be an at-large bid. But neither do you, but, like, we don't know how they make these selections. And but you got to have a resume builder. You can't have an 0-7 against
quad twos, whatever. Yeah, I don't, if we don't beat Kentucky or St. Mary's and don't win the tournament, we're not getting the tournament. Yeah. That's not, like, even like a hot take or trying to be like go viral with this statement. It's just the reality. Like, if you look at deep dive into our resume, we just don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we would beat, theoretically, if we could get lucky enough to beat Kentucky and then beat St. Mary's and finish undefeated and then get to the championship game and maybe lose a close one, I think we'd be for sure a bubble team that could get in.
Yeah.
That's the only other scenario. You'd have to get to the championship game, and you'd have to beat Kentucky, and you'd have to run the rest of the table, the WCC, and then lose, like, maybe you lose on a buzzer beater versus St. Mary's in the championship game. Then I think we'd have a legitimate chance to get in, but it'd still be a nervous Sunday.
Yeah, it would be.
It would be a nervous Sunday. But all in all, I'm still positive and, you know, looking forward to watching this team grow and continue playing hard. I thought they played their asses off that game, just a few mistakes. And then, again, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite. I don't like blaming officials, but this was one where there were some really, like, egregious ones.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a couple weird fouls down the stretch. These were, like, violation, shot clock, those were bad, you know, where you sit there and you go, okay, at this level, we can't have these ones be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? At this level, you can have missed foul calls because that's the viewpoint, but, like, violations at this level, you're supposed to fucking get it right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think every fan base and every fan and every coaching staff, like, if Mahaney got called for stepping out of bounds, like, St. Mary's wouldn't even argue. I saw him. He stepped out of bounds. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you're in a game coaching and somebody steps out of bounds, you're just like, oops, you know, you saw it, you stepped out.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I mean? Or, like, even on travels, you're like, when a kid rips through and picks up their pivot foot and you know it's travel and they call it, you don't even argue. It's like, yeah, you traveled, man. You know what I mean? So, like, violations is like, you got to get it right.
It always amazes me when we live in this day and age where, like, there's so much technology and, like, why can't we have cameras looking at every angle of a court and just, like, there's a way to track all this stuff. If someone steps out of bounds, like, there could be an automatic thing that would let someone know, like, that they're out of bounds.
And you could do that, honestly, under 1 minute.
Yeah.
And where it's like, okay, this is only going to be a factor, but that's a very good point. Like, you could do pylons, but extended.
Yeah.
And, yeah, somebody steps out, and then you could go to it, and you have it, and boom.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. You could do, I guarantee, like, the NBA would do that if there ever was a game that decided like that in the finals, and especially how much it gets bet.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of the decisions are made.
Yeah.
It's like, because the Vegas calls and says, hey, and believe it or not, they don't, you know, people don't rig games, but Vegas, you know, the betting stuff, how much money they make off of it and how much it's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
They listen, because if the desert doesn't like it, and it screws up, then your viewership goes down. You know what I mean? And then they realize, shoot, less eyeballs are going to be on this, less traction, clicks. Then I can't sell ads. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It works together.
Like if there was ever a situation, but that's why they like the NFL is great.
Yeah.
Those pylon cameras, they can switch those things and they know like, okay, this is a lot of money's being bet on this game.
Yeah.
And that's why some people are watching. They don't really care who the teams are. They're mm-hmm. just betting on it anyway. So that's a very good point. Like, why can't you just have that? I think they'd have to do a trial. You know how they always do the trials like in the November tournaments?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where sometimes they'll make the key longer or the 3-point line mm-hmm. different. Mm-hmm. Like have a trial with that. Because there's got to be a technology where they can tell if somebody has a basketball and they step out.
Yeah.
Like a red light comes on. Like, I guarantee there is. Like, it has to exist.
I mean, there is.
It's not there. It has to be. Like, yes, yeah. there is. Like, we can put a missile through a doorway.
Like, you don't get me.
Yeah. It's like, there is. It's just, if it's released yet or if it's like on the private, you know, the private sector has it yet. Like, it's out there.
We're at the point in our humanity where we should stop letting calls be like decided by humans.
Yeah, no, that's a fair. I think Major League Baseball is talking about doing robot umps.
Yeah,
and there's a big pushback, but some people are like, "Dude, it'd be awesome! Like striker ball, and you know what I mean? Like it's easy." But I like the human aspect. But you're right.
Yeah,
if the guy steps out, like why couldn't there be, boom?
It was it went from a 2-point play to a five-point play.
Yeah. It took the air out of the game.
Yeah.
Because if we get that, obviously we go down. If we score, then we're up. It's just so easy to.
Yeah.
And then maybe we win that game and they go, we beat a top 20 net team and, you know, we're back on track. Mm-hmm. It's the whole tenor of the town and how they're speaking about the kids and how I'm talking about this team and how we present this is so much different.
Yeah.
It's crazy. University of Portland, I don't care. I'm not going to talk about that game. We'll talk about it after.
Yeah. But
they're okay. They're not great. They're not terrible either. They're just, it's Portland. They're 9-15, 3-6, 7-4 at home, 2-9 away.
Yeah.
Have some good players, but we usually do a good job against them. So, yeah, hopefully I have some good news on next week when we talk about the trip to Kentucky. It's a big-time opportunity for us. It's kind of the last one besides St. Mary's at home.
Yeah,
being frank, San Francisco at their places in that realm, but not as big. So hopefully people tune in and cheer. And, you know, I'm critical of this team, but hopefully we keep it on a sane level. And that's not being mean. Me being a, you know, participation trophy guy, but also like, okay, let's calm down a little bit here. It's not like they lost by 20 and didn't show any effort. There was some weird shit that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And a tough break, and this is still a good basketball team, and helping them get over the finish line is being positive will help that.
Definitely.
Negative won't.
Yeah.
Doesn't help anybody, so I don't know.
I got to ask, you're traveling to Kentucky mm-hmm. on Saturday. Are you going to miss a Super Bowl?
That's a really good point. I didn't even think about that. Hopefully we're coming back Saturday night. That's a really good point. I'm gonna have to call Learfield and figure that out. That's a really good point. I don't want to miss the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, I
that'd suck.
I was gonna ask, like, you got any? Do you?
I don't give a shit.
I
give a shit in the fact that I want the Super Bowl to be close.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch very much football besides Red Zone in the background.
Mm.
So you know, and then I usually flip on Sunday Night Football. The end of the week, you know what I mean? You're like, oh, it's the game. You just have it on the background.
For sure.
But I find it hard to bet against Mahomes, man.
Yeah, no.
It's good. It's just like he has that thing where he's just that guy where, like, even these last two games, you know, you hear on the pundit shows, he didn't have great numbers. He's smart enough to know that he doesn't have to.
Right.
Because he has a good defense. But he's, like, that good. This may sound funny, but he knows, like, I'm just going to fucking win the game, hand it off, make my 11 passes to Travis Kelce and score. You know what I mean? Like, he's in that realm where he's, like, smart enough to know, like, all right, there's some games where I have to be the guy, and there's some games where, like, my defense is clicking and we're rolling. Like, I'll go 16 for 20
mm-hmm.
with 210 and two touchdowns, no turnovers, controlled the pace of the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's a real skill, too. People don't understand that. Well, it's game management. No shit. Game management to a fucking win.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and he understands legacy and stuff. That's what he's chasing now, which is crazy how early it is in his
career. No kidding, yeah.
But he's already chasing, like, I want to be the all-time great.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows, like, you win another one of these, you're in that realm.
Yeah, you're
already.
In that,
and you're,
already, yeah.
You know? And so I don't want to bet against him. I don't care about the Taylor Swift stuff. I really don't.
Yeah.
I get both sides have a fair argument.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it is annoying per se if they show her. But then it was funny when whoever did it was like, they show her for 25 seconds, like actual time. Somebody timed it.
Mm.
So like, dude, who cares? Yeah. And they show fans all the time. Like when they show Jack Nicklaus at a game, mm-hmm. do you get pissed? Or they show whoever. But I think that's just part of the, when people, what's the term? When people don't like stuff in popular culture.
Oh, just they're because, being contrarians.
Yeah,
they're
just being, yeah. And yeah. You're like, so it's you're like, it's bad to like stuff that's popular. Everything that's popular sucks. You know yeah. what I mean? It's like, so I get that part. There is some shitty popular stuff.
Right.
Right. You and I will agree on that. But also, like, you can't hate everything that's popular. And like, she's kind of harmless to me. You know what I mean?
She just won Album of the Year at the Grammys. She's
four times.
Yeah, for the fourth time, she's having the time of her life. Like,
she seems like a nice person too.
Yeah, she
doesn't seem. Everybody has their moments, but she doesn't seem like rude, or at least you know, like condescending. So you're kind of like, I don't see the like complete hate for it, but people like to hate anyway.
I mean, we both come from like. The 80s and 90s yeah. and like loving celebrities and like seeing like Michael Jackson and all
she's
these
just
like
another version of Madonna but bigger
yeah exactly.
more commercialized
and it's just,
and I love Madonna
and I think it's good for the economy, it's good for people being other people that don't have like a rooting interest or watching now because they
that's why the NFL loves it it brings that other
it's
that
like,
other aspect into it so that's part of the why it's presented the way it is because it adds another demographic that might not watch, but it's also like NFL, you have literally like one third probably of the country watches your games, which is insane.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Well, now even more people are going to watch it. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, how much more do you want? You know what I mean? Like, holy shit.
That's true.
but anyway, so yeah, I think the Chiefs will win. I don't like betting again. I think the Niners are better, but I think it's one of those where it's just the guy, dude. So
yeah.
Be like 17 for 25, three touchdowns, no interceptions. You know what I mean? Hand it off to Pacheco. He'll have 80 something. And then Kelsey will have eight with a touchdown.
Yeah.
And then they win 24-21. He wins another Super Bowl, you know.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's funny is when we look back in his career that Tom Brady's the only one that's beat him so far.
Oh, so that's a,
right. And so
and
you know that you know that's got to bother.
Totally.
Because like when he gets to the GOAT debate,
wait
a second.
You got beat by Tom Brady.
You got beat by Tom Brady when he was fucking 43 or whatever.
That's so true.
So that's what's always going to be crazy 10 years from now when they have that, when he's retired or whatever.
Yeah.
That is going to come up and it's going to be legitimate. It's like he was on a new team and he was fucking old and he beat you.
Right.
And Tom Brady's going to be sitting there, not going to say it, but just like, yep, I got that one in my back pocket.
Oh, that's funny.
But anyway, yeah, thanks for everybody listening. Like I said, next week we'll talk about the Kentucky road trip. Hopefully it's a positive one. Thank you to McGilvery Environmental, Idaho Central Credit Union, HDG Architecture. See you next week.